shit, professional weirdo podcast. What the fuck? It's been like 800 months since I made an episode. I was busy shipping my game that makes animations, Nightmare Puppeteer, which you can find on Steam. There's always a link to it in the description, so go buy that shit. Like, if you're a fan of mine or whatever, you want to fucking help me out, you like this podcast, go buy my fucking game that makes animations and make some animations with it. I just posted a thing on the Steam update about how to make some crypto money with that Nightmare Puppeteer, man. Go make some NFT art, non-fungible token art, one-of-a-kind digital art you can make all day, every day, all night with Nightmare Puppeteer. Make that Ethereum money, make that cash, make that die. Yeah, make that X die. Whatever you want. So yeah, it's been a while since I did a podcast. So as a professional, we prioritize shit. So the last couple weeks when I was finishing up Nightmare Puppeteer were pretty stressful, as the end always is. I only got one migraine headache, but then my neck was fucked up for like a week because I was like straining like, hey, with my neck forward. I got a program. Oh my God, the release. So it took a while to get over that. And then after doing that, then I decided, you know what? I want to make another movie. And the tools like Unity and the different tools I've been using to make games and other shit have progressed to a certain extent so that like making a movie in it and my experience level has increased, whatever. So I'm making a movie, an animated feature film called Amdoll. I'm making it by myself. And there's a wiki for it. I'll post it in the show notes too, where I'm doing like a make of. You can follow along where I'm just like, hey, look, I'm going to make this movie for like a less than $1,000 US and it's going to be fucking awesome. So why aren't you? I know, you know, people just want to fucking cocoon or stay home and be, I mean, God, the world is so scary. It's so bad, and like not live life or not make shit. But if you're doing that, you're doing it wrong, because time's going to pass and no one's going to fucking care about any of this shit, whatever nonsense humans are doing at the time. If you made shit, if you progressed, you did it. If you didn't, you didn't. And there's going to be no excuses. You're just going to look at blank spaces in your life and feel fucking retarded that you didn't do anything. So don't get caught on that fear tip. Create, learn, build, grow, do all that. That's always the best path. Always the best path. Unless you live in an actual war zone with bombs falling, like blowing up houses next to you. Yeah, then like you should have a focus on like surviving and shit. But where the news and people on screens are just saying, he's dying. Look at the numbers. Did you know people die? Oh my God, people die. Ah. If it's just that, if it's all just psychological fear, then yeah, probably just make some shit. So let me see. When's the last fucking episode I did? Let me see if there's some questions. There probably isn't. The last one I did was September 4th. So it's been almost 2 months. That one was on Spike and Mike's Sick and Twisted Festival Animation. Okay. Let me go look in the little Discord. There is a little lonely Discord for this podcast. Let's see. Blub, is there any questions? I can't remember if I answered these. Oh, wait. No, I didn't. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I don't know if I... No, September 9th. Okay, I'm backed up a little bit on questions. Okay, let me get to these. All right. So on September 9th, Scar Muse asks, how do you deal with professional or more talented people that try to bring you down? He puts talented in quotations. I remember that you said, while making Rather Strange, some professionals told you that making an animated movie was impossible. Okay, I see where you're at. So, yeah, if there's people, like in that instance, my first animated feature film, which came out in 2007, We Are the Strange, 94 minutes, I think, was the release. I had made a lot of shorts before that, both live action and animated. But I had a couple friends, one in particular, who I knew from Santa Monica, who was a professional animator. He mostly did like effects animations. Well, a pretty good friend of mine. He taught me a lot of stuff, and it was really real cool guy. I appreciate it. I had him as a friend. But when I told him what I was planning to do, you know, he was like, oh man, I don't know. That sounds like too much. I think you just do a short. you know, and we didn't go in depth. Like, the reason I was doing a feature was to get attention, was like, hey, I did these shorts. I want to do a feature to throw it down, to enter it in festivals, to try to be like, this, check it out. This is who I am. This is what I do. You know, how to have like a big piece, because obviously that's a big thing to make an animated feature film. It was back then. There's still probably, when you look at all films made, that's probably the least common, right? Live action would be the most common, whatever. But in that case, like, my friend was just probably afraid that I was going to fail or something. So he was trying to, you know, help me set more realistic goals in his mind. But the reason I had confidence going forward is, like I said, I had produced tons of other short animations and short things. So for me to look at a full length movie, like, if I targeted it at 80 minutes, all I did was go, hey, look, I made this episode of my animation series. At the time, I think I was doing one called Blue Wander. And I did an episode that was like 12 minutes long or something. And it took me, I'm just going to guess, it took me like 2 weeks or something, or 3 weeks, whatever. All I did was go, hey, I'd be happy if this movie is of this quality. This took me 3 weeks to do, let's say, 10 minutes. So to do 80 minutes, it's going to take eight times as long. It'll take me whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's how I got to, hey, I can make a full-length movie. But the other people around me weren't even thinking of that. They were just like, oh, this big thing. No, it's too big. It's too hard. And working in the industry, too, he was in the industry, so he knew all the people that went into making a full-length animated movie, which is fucking 50-plus people, hundreds of people sometimes. So to him, to go, hey, this one weird dude from San Jose that I know, he can't do that. You know, he's just one weird guy. Like, I know there's whole studios it takes. So the way you, quote, deal with that is just like, hey, if you mapped it out like I did, where I did something of a similar quality that I wanted to produce, and I said, hey, I can do this times eight, you know, times 10, it's going to take this long. You don't have to convince anybody. And, you know, the best way to convince them to is just to make it and prove them wrong by going, hey, well, look, hey, I did it. And, you know, with my friend, that guy, when I eventually did it and it got into big festivals and all that, he was happy for me. He came to see it at the Silver Lake Film Festival with his girlfriend and was very happy to see it, which was cool. But, yeah, it's not about convincing anybody but yourself, you know, unless it's people you're trying to get to work for you, right? Actors or artists or whatever. But there's a quote I like. It's from Magic in Theory and Practice by Aleister Crowley. I'll probably butcher the quote, but it's like, there's two. There's one is, the world gets out of the way of a man who knows where he's going. So, they'll get out of your way and they will follow you. So if you have confidence of like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm making this movie. It's going to be done at this time. We're going to do this and do that with it. I'm going to do, you know, people will follow you. If you're confident and you know where you're going and you put that out, if you're like, well, I hope to be done, but I don't know. You know, you scare people. You're not confident. You know, and this can help you in all aspects of your life. It's like, people want to be reassured. They want to be around confident people. Most people don't want to have to handle fucking making decisions and shit like that. They just want to chill out and drink a wine or fucking have a good time. So if you're like that person, like, I'm that person, I'm confident. I know what I want to do and where I'm going. You know, I plan it out. I'm confident. I don't go, well, maybe I am not sure. Well, no, I'm doing this. We're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. So being that confident person can help you in all aspects of your life, not just creation. So that's how you deal with it. If, you know, hope that answered your question. Mankey says, who will win, Trump or Biden? I answered him in the Discord. I said, does it matter? Americans will continue to lose. So yeah, it doesn't matter. The president of the United States does not matter. They're just a manager in a larger corporate structure where there's people over them that make the real decisions. So administration, nothing changes. It's the people above them. I'm not going to get into that. You can read all about that yourself. So there's just a quote by one of the Rothschild dudes who said, I do not care. If you give me the control of a country's money supply, I don't care who writes its laws. Where it's like, yeah, the people who control the money, control the country, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, American election, I do not care. It doesn't matter. The same shit's going to keep going on because they're just figureheads are just puppets. It's just bread and circus for the fucking masses of dummies who will then fight about it because Americans get amnesia every 4 years. Well, they have a person that says, if I'm elected president, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And then they do none of those things. And then another 4 years, some other person comes, I'm going to do this. And, you know, it could even be the same person. Oh, this time they're going to do it. This is the good guy. This is the bad guy. It's pro wrestling for fucking idiots. And unfortunately, most Americans are fucking idiots. It's just how it is. They've been dumbed down through TV and all this shit for years and years and years. So now their brains are just mush. You try to fucking reason with them. Use critical thinking, fucking logic, whatever. I went for a walk today and there was these three women, probably in their 50s, like standing on the sidewalk. I don't wear a mask. And they all had masks on. And then they moved out of the way on the sidewalk. And I say hello to people normally, like friendly. I'm not being an asshole. You know, I'm just like, hello. And then one of the women said, where's your mask? And I went, what? Excuse me? She said, where's your mask? And I told her, well, I don't want to wear one. And there's no law that says I have to wear one. And if you didn't know, there's other places in the world. If you knew that there's a world that exists outside the United States, like Denmark, my wife has a friend in Denmark and Sweden where there's no mask, they don't do anything and it's fine. There isn't fucking people dropping dead. It's not apocalypse. Oh, God. You know, it's like, so this is a political thing. Also, I read the book by Klaus Schwab, who's the founder of Davos, the World Economic Forum, the COVID-19, the Great Reset, which he's the guy that wrote the book on the fourth industrial revolution, which was taking away everyone's jobs, blah, blah, blah. This thing does the same. It's a fucking reshaping the world, blah, 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 using this thing as an excuse. Anyway, I talked a little bit too fast and made a little bit too much sense for the lady. And then she just went, wait, stay away from me. When I was walking away and I was like 30 feet from her and her fucking mush brain was just, stay away from me. Oh my God, there's a confident man speaking his mind. Ah! And I told her, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. The heat-seeking fucking particles aren't going to fly and get you with your mask on. So I don't waste any of my energy and time with that nonsense. If you wanted to fucking sell a shirt now that would be true and make a bunch of money, just fucking print a shirt with a $100 bill on it and have it say, this is the only vote that counts. Because if you look at the real vote in America, it's like you got to pay for shit. Can you buy them off? Can you lobby? Do you have $500 million? No, then your fucking vote means nothing. It's just giving the illusion that you have power, democracy, whatever. It's all bullshit. If you know the way money works and markets and all that shit. So, yeah, I don't know who will win or lose. I don't care. Nothing will change. I'm Raven Ty says, I've been reading B-Book and your blog recently, and I've tried taking some psyllium husk powder and fish oil and have been feeling a lot better for having tried it. So I was wondering what advice you'd have as far as a workout regimen and diet. Oh, okay. So I totally forgot about that. But yeah, I still do. Now my nightly thing, I take it every night. I do water with psyllium husk powder. I put turmeric in there. And olive oil. So the psyllium husk is like a fiber thing. Helps you be more regular. And you know, you need to think about that even before you're 80 years old. I started doing it when I was like around 30 or whatever. And then the turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. So if you look at like colon cancer rates between the US and India and stuff where they isolated the turmeric use in the food or whatever. And I think there's some drugs synthesized from it too. But anyway, it's good for all kinds of stuff, muscle pain, joint pain, all these things. And then the olive oil, just, you know, to have a little of that Mediterranean oil in there, smooth things out. What advice do you have as far as a workout regimen and diet? So I would recommend what I do now. I was just saying to my wife the other day, if you could only do two exercises, they would be burpees and pull-ups. Like, because just doing those two, you're getting cardio with the fucking burpees, and burpees does like your entire body outside of your biceps and your pulling muscles. So if you want to look jacked, then you do the pull-ups, your biceps, your back, everything else. I mean, when you're starting out, pull-ups are hard. So that would probably be maybe something more advanced. So, but I would say also what I have are kettlebells. So I bought an Air Assault bike. So it's like an exercise bike with the arm things. It's like $800 US because you want something that works well. So I do that for my cardio stuff, or I walk, and I do kettlebells, burpees, some core work. I have these mats I put on the dirt and pull-ups. But the regimen I do, I change it all the time. So sometimes I'll do Tabata, where I'll get my iPod and put the Tabata timer on it. So the Tabata is a high intensity interval training. So it beeps where you do 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest, 20 seconds, and you do sets of those. So like when you first start out, doing like 15 minutes of nonstop Tabata will make you pretty tired. And the thing I like about the Tabata is that you can do it with any exercise. So you can do 20 seconds of jumping jacks, 10 seconds rest, 20 seconds of push-ups or some kettlebell exercise or pull-ups or run in place or whatever. So you might want to check that out. But I do about a 40-minute workout every day with kettlebells, different stuff like burpees, pull-ups. But when I do the Air Assault bike, so if you look into it, there's a lot of research showing that if you do sets of sprints, it's easier on your joints and you get the same benefits as doing like 30, 40-minute low-intensity runs. So I do like the sprint thing on the bike and I walk. But I would say I started lifting weights when I was like 16 and doing the whole weights and dumbbells, barbells, blah, 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 blah. But I find the kettlebells are far superior for real world strength and flexibility. They're a little harder. They're more athletic because you got to balance them, but that's better for you too. So if you get kettlebells, what I did, I just went on YouTube and searched for beginner kettlebell workout, because the thing with the kettlebells, like you have to learn how to do the exercises. A lot of them are hard to do because they do have some athleticism. So do the intro ones. And then once you learn a bunch of exercises, do the sets on your own, mix them in with your burpees, your core work, maybe some pull-ups. And as far as diet, like I go back and forth too. Like recently I was doing that intermittent fasting thing. I think that's good to do every once in a while, where you don't eat for like 4 hours after you wake up and you don't eat for 4 hours before you go to sleep. So then you have like, 12, 16 hours of fasting every night. Diet, I myself don't eat any sugar. Like I don't eat desserts. I don't drink soda. I don't drink juice. There's going to be some sugar and some stuff, you eat on accident, whatever. I don't care. I'm not that crazy. Or if there's something I'm eating, it has like 1 gram of sugar, but I don't eat sugar things on purpose. What else don't I do? I don't eat bread. I found that when I did eat bread, I stopped eating bread and cheese. Like I have a little cheese. I make these turkey tacos, but yeah, I think a lot about your health too is just finding out what you can't eat and what you can't drink. Like when I was growing up, I ate a lot of bread, a lot of cheese, a lot of milk. And I was getting like a migraine headache a week. And I would get these weird fucking skin lesions and all this shit. Like acne things, like weird ones. And then once I stopped drinking milk and eating bread and cheese, no more migraines, no more weird skin shit. A lot less pain in my joints and muscles and stuff like that. I could get into supplements too. I take a shitload of supplements, but if you want me to do something about that, ask me, post a question if you want me to do a whole thing, and you can be specific too. And I'll answer it, cause I already talked a long time about this health stuff, and hopefully that answers your question. But these, podcasts have time limits of 30 minutes. So let's see the next one. Scar Muse says, how do you deal with your shadow self, inner voice that tells you to quit? Your work sucks. Sometimes our worst enemy is ourself. Yeah. So this one, that inner voice that tells you to quit, I believe it's our ego. It's like a smaller part of ourself. It's the part of ourself that, like, if we feel we're insulted, like we react really quick. Well, fuck you. I don't like you anywhere. It's the one that's defensive and weird and needs a lot of attention and like all that. So the way I get around it is that, like, I find you have to make things that you believe in, and the things that you believe in that you're making, you're trying to help other people. You have like a cause that's bigger than yourself. So then when you're working on stuff, you tell your ego, shut up, bitch. Like, you're just trying to fulfill yourself. You're just like whining. You just want attention. Fuck you. I'm not going to give you attention. Like, I'm doing this for a reason bigger than you. It's for you and me, but it's also bigger than us. So get over it. Like, this is not about you, ego. So, that inner voice, that's what I do. If it's different, if you think the work sucks versus it's not fun, like if that voice is telling me it's not fun, then I will change it to make it fun. Because with what I'm doing it because I want to. So if it's not fun, it's like, why am I doing it? So, but the voice that tells you to quit, yeah, that's the fearful ego. It's fearful that like whatever you make is not going to be that good and people are going to judge you or it might hurt your feelings. So whatever you make, it should have some motivation that somehow, somewhere, it's going to help somebody or something bigger than you. And then you can just tell your shadow self ego to shut the fuck up and stop being a little bitch. You'll do something for it when you're done, right? But it's not going to get its way. Mankey says, how long will your new movie be? Feature length short film. And Kid Soon answered him, it's a feature, bruh. So yeah, it's going to be 80 plus minutes at the shortest. It'll be 80 at the longest. It'll be 120. But you know, I don't fuck around with that short shit. I'm doing that feature song, blam. And then, I am going to, like get a sales rep for this one and sell it. So I'll do a distribution deal and whatever, they sell it to Netflix or fucking whoever. That's what I'm gonna do with that. And then I'm probably going to start on a animated series with the same person that's going to sell the movie and some other collaborators. And we'll try to get a series, animated series, get it out on whatever fucking service. That would be cool. And yeah, so I'm just moving forward. I'm not totally putting game development behind me, but I learned a lot from it. When I finished this movie, there was a game I worked on for a couple years called Nightlight Sonata, which probably has about four hours of finished gameplay now. It was really going to have like 40, but I think with where I'm at now, I'm just going to take that game, polish what I have, and release it as like an early access thing or something, or maybe not early access if I never finish it, but I'm just going to put it out, release it so people can play it because it's cool, but I'm not feeling video games right now. Not just for like myself, like kind of like I don't play games that much. And as an art form, I guess because of the limitations of a game, like the art thing is tough for me because when you give all the control to people, like people usually don't know what to do or they just make things shitty. And then it's like, no, well, let me do it for you. Let me move the camera here, you know, but then now it's not a game anymore. And then if you're going to do that in a game, it's like, well, fuck, you're taking all the control away. You might as well just make a film. So what I'm exploring is interactive film. Like the film is going to be something you watch as a video, but I'm going to do some other stuff with it to make it interactive. That's where I'm going. So anyway, thanks for listening to the Professional Weirdo Podcast. Sorry again for the big gap between episodes, but I was being professional. I was shipping a game that makes animations, a Nightmare Puppeteer. If you want to support me and shit that I do, go buy it. If you know somebody that would want to make their own weird animations, you can gift stuff in Steam. You can buy it for them and send it to them. So yeah, thanks for listening. You got any questions, post them on the Discord or leave an audio thing on this and I'll answer them. So I'm back doing these now. So yeah, sorry again and bye.